The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 398. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Next week, Columbus, Ohio will host the Cartoon Crossroads Columbus Festival. That event happens every single year, and it's a major showcase of cartooning, comics, animation. It is just an awesome event, and I'm so happy to have the co-chairs of the programming committee, Ben Toll and Craig Campbell, joining me on this episode of the PVD Cast to talk all about CXC. There is so much programming, so many great guests that are coming for this event, that the three of us had to sit down and talk all about it. So you're going to hear all about the history of the event, who's coming, where things are happening, because there's so many different places in the downtown area that's going to be hosting events for CXC. I failed to mention that it kicks off Wednesday night, September 27th, and runs through Sunday, October 1st. And you know what? If you've never been to CXC, you need to come on out. It's a free event, so you don't have to worry that, hey, man, I want to go see four or five things. That's going to be a lot of money. No. You don't have to worry about it, man. It's free. So if you want more information, just go to cartooncrossroadscolumbus.org. They've got all of the schedules, all of the details, where things are happening, when they're happening, etc., etc. And like I said, I'm very excited to talk to Ben and Craig. But before I do, I need to let you know about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. And of course, that means I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They got everything you need for your comic book fandom. I mean, they got single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, toys, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. And if they don't have what you need, ask. They might be able to get it for you. So you need to check out the store, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also find them over on the web. WGComics.com is their web address, and at WGComics is their Facebook page, of which they're pretty active on. So definitely check out World's Greatest Comics if you get the opportunity. I say it all the time, but I really, truly mean it. I'm humbled that Jeff and all the fine folks of World's Greatest Comics is a sponsor, and I thank them so much. I truly do appreciate it. I say it all the time, but it's true. So definitely check out World's Greatest Comics online or in person. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Ben, Craig, and myself talk all about this year's CXC event. All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining me this evening is Mr. Craig Campbell. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing all right, doing all right.
And Mr. Ben Toll. Ben, how are you?
Fantastic.
You both are representatives of CXC, Cartoon Crossroads Columbus, and tonight we're going to be talking about this year's event, which is next week. It's hard to imagine that it's that quickly upon us, isn't it?
I feel it.
Yeah, we've been working on this for a while, so it's nice to have it actually kind of be kind of around the corner, and things are sort of on a predestined course now. So
yeah, everything's locked in, and everything from here on out is, you know, just follow through.
Yeah, it's kind of like that point when you know you're having a party and it's about time for people to arrive, and you just stop doing stuff.
Right.
You know.
So right. Gotcha.
Well, let's explain to the listeners what your roles are with CXC, because you have two very important roles, as you are the co-chairs of the programming committee. So could you just explain to the listeners what that means in terms of responsibilities?
Well, as far as where that job starts, because it's, you know, over the year, we initially bring together the committee and talk about how the most recent show had gone and about what we might want to do the following year. We talk to the committee and kind of figure out what new titles might be coming out over the next year and what some cartoonists are doing, trying to make sure that we have kind of a diverse an eclectic list of possible guests. And it's eclectic not only in, you know, because we do look at things like having a diversity of backgrounds and classes, genders, et cetera, et cetera. But we also look at a diversity of focuses and kind of exploring the diversity of the medium of comics, whether it be comic strips, web cartoons, or, you know, graphic novels, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, newspaper strips, editorial cartoons, digital stuff, you know, individual monthly issues of stuff. So, yeah, we do try to kind of I think that's one thing that we really pride ourselves on and it makes us somewhat unique is that we, you know, you will find newspaper strip cartoonists floating around or editorial guys. And
stuff or animation like folks.
Yeah, we do have a whole other animation component that we can talk about, too.
Sure. Well, let's dive into some of the guests that are going to be appearing next week. And just before we get started, I want the listeners to know that, you know, there's a ton of guests. And just for time purposes, we're going to highlight ones that, you know, Craig and Ben are very excited to see or to have at the event. But I would suggest going over to the website is cartooncrossroadscolumbus.org, O-R-G, not .com, and checking out all the information, like where you can find folks giving, you know, different types of presentations, who's going to be there, the schedule, because as you two know, it's all over downtown. It's at the Columbus Metropolitan Library main branch. It's at Mershon Auditorium. There's stuff going on everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another thing that I think makes us fairly unique among North American conventions. You know, I think that if you've ever been to a comics convention at all, you're probably thinking that you're used to like a sort of a big room and like a convention center or something like that. And that's sort of where everything is. And this is CXC is deliberately sort of modeled more in the sort of European style comics convention where there are events kind of all over the place and it's just sort of throughout the city. So, yeah, we do have stuff at the Billy Ireland Museum on the OSU campus. We have stuff at CCAD. We have stuff at the museum. So, yeah, it's all over the city.
Actually, I mean, Ben and I had the privilege of actually visiting Angoulême during the Angoulême Festival, which is a comics festival that happens in France. And being able to kind of experience that firsthand and get a sense of where that that kind of like aesthetic and that vibe comes from. We knew that actively in the inception of CXC. One of the goals was to look at that kind of as a model. And of course, Columbus is its own space and has its own things to show off. But allowing for the city to really participate as a whole and allow for us to invite guests from not only across the country, but across the world and bring them to Columbus so that they can engage with the landscape was a big part of the kind of thesis of what CXC was trying to accomplish. So I think we do a pretty good job of making sure people get around.
And I agree with that. And speaking of someone from around the world, let's talk about one of the first guests, okay? And I believe that I'm going to say this correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Kaito Gaku.
Yeah, Kaito Gaku is from Japan. Kaito Gaku is one of the first out trans men in Japan who is a mangaka. And the book that he'd just come out with, well, he'd been coming out with for a bit, Boys Run the Riot is a fantastic title that talks about that that issue, but in a really interesting perspective. I personally am a big fan of art about art. I like stories about art, and this story is focused in on a young trans man who is dealing with gendered issues while trying to start up a fashion line. And I feel like that story, it really speaks to the maker's aesthetic. And I think that, you know, not only do I relate to it as far as a coming age story, but I think that it also kind of speaks to me as an artist trying to overcome self-doubt and things like that. And so sharing that with the LGBTQ community, but also with the general public when it comes to art making is really exciting. And it's always nice to bring in some international voices just to speak on a broader industry. I also know that there is a large manga audience out there in the world, and I'm hoping that this kind of allows for them to engage with non-Western media that they are fascinated by.
And if I'm not mistaken, he doesn't leave Japan very often, does he?
No, I believe this is the first time he's been outside of Japan for a comics event. And, you know, he's coming to Columbus, which I think is a really exciting thing. Unless I've missed some major event in Columbus's past, I think this will be the first professional manga artist from Japan who's visited here for, you know, for anything, for an appearance. So it's a pretty big deal. And I hope that people will come out for it. I think we are, last I checked, we're not sold out, but we're on track to sell out. An important point I should bring up just throughout the whole conversation is when I talk about selling out, it does not imply that anything is being sold for money. the entire festival is free, which is another thing we're really proud of. So we do ticket events for our bigger name guests where we think that we're not going to have capacity, but everything at CXC is free.
And let's talk about when that's happening. That's happening at the Mershon. It's a speaking event, I believe, Saturday night at 8 to 9, if I remember correctly.
Keiji Gaku will be at Kanzani Auditorium at the Columbus College of Art and Design. And he is 8 to 9 with a reception to follow at 9 to 10.
Okay.
Oh, well, also something worth noting, and I'd like to...
sure.
Because we're gonna say that when everybody comes in, but also it's a no photography appearance. So if you want to see Keito Gaku, you have to go in person to see him.
Yeah.
You know what? I respect that. It's something special.
Hey, you have to respect the man's privacy.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on to another guest, Raina Tegelmeyer. She is obviously the author and illustrator on Smile, Drama, Sisters, Ghosts,
Babysitter's Club.
Babysitter's Club. I mean, the resume is a mile long, if you will. So I'm going to ask you to, and I hate to say it this way, but was this maybe one of the bigger gets, as I use air quotes that no one's going to see, for CXC?
Yeah, I mean, Raina is a superstar in the world of middle grade comics. If you're anybody out there, if you have had a, you know, like a 10 or 12 year old child, I could pretty much guarantee you that they know who Raina Tegelmeyer is. She is certainly one of the best known and best selling middle grade cartoonists in North America, and did, you know, almost single handedly, I could throw a few other books in there, kind of turn comics back into an art form that children read widely mm-hmm. when Smile came out and was such a huge hit. Yeah, so she's a great get. And she ties in nicely as well because there's a huge exhibit of her original artwork that's up at the Billy Ireland over on the OSU campus. And if you don't know what the Billy Ireland is, it is just a real treasure that we have here in Columbus. A lot of people from Columbus don't even know about it, but it is it's a museum and library. It has the world's largest collection of original art, as they have some absolutely stunning original comics and illustration art. They have some absolutely stunning stuff. And they have an amazing gallery space. And so right now that gallery space is filled with original Raina Tegelmeyer pages. So that really, that synced up really nicely with the event.
And just to highlight another aspect of the Billy Ireland Museum, I do really enjoy going there and kind of hanging out. They have tons of just generally comics materials. So in addition to original art, they have a huge collection of work. And they also have the largest collection of manga outside of Japan.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. figured that'd be a nice little highlight for anybody looking for a tour or a visit.
It's a fantastic facility. In fact, I got to take the behind the scenes tour, so to speak, earlier in August, I believe. That blew my mind. I mean, just the amazing amount of art that is there, original art. I couldn't really express it to people that I knew. I'm like, you don't understand what I saw this afternoon.
Yeah, it's something you really have to see to fully understand what they do. Take you down into the climate controlled basement where everything is. And for what it's worth, as part of CXC, they will be offering tours, those sort of tours of their sort of storage facilities and stuff to the general public. You have to get over there and sign up. They're hour long slots, and I think there are four of them each day, Thursday and Friday. But if you've ever wanted to go down into the bowels of the Billy Ireland and see some just truly amazing stuff. That is, you know, that is, they will have tours open to the public at CXC Thursday and Friday.
Yeah. Fortunately, they have an opportunity where if you wanted to check out their collection, you could go online, see what materials they might have, or even call in and ask some questions. And you give them 24 to 48 hours and they'll likely be able to arrange something for you to visit and check it out. But they don't necessarily do the entire vault tour every day. So I do recommend during CXC, if you can, to, you know, get in there and check out the whole like space. It's quite amazing. And I want to say the things that are just lying around, I put that in air yeah. quotes, because that everything is very much taken care of, but you'll just walk past a bookshelf and be like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
And a lot of our guests who are in town will take that tour too. So you never know who you're going to be with on your tour group. So
yes.
That's always kind of fun too.
All right, let's talk about Dennis Kitchen, a man that was a member of the Underground Comics movement. He's a Hall of Fame inductee for the Eisners, created Kitchen Sink Books. He's best known for me, in my perspective, of the gentleman behind the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. And so talk to us a little bit about Dennis coming to town.
Well, luckily, I just recently had a chance to meet him for the first time while I was over at SPX, and he's extremely kind, amazing artist, illustrator, and super accessible. I think if you have an opportunity to just catch him on the floor at the library on Saturday or Sunday, I think you'd be lucky to just grab his ear for a second. But he is a legend in the industry and is going to be doing a fascinating panel and conversation about modern publishing.
Yeah, he's a guy who, you know, he's almost any kind of important event in the sort of history of the medium, there's almost a 50-50 chance that Dennis Kitchen is somehow involved, you know, because he's a fantastic cartoonist himself, but also has done things like he's worked in publishing for a long time. He published early, you know, Robert Crumb stuff and a lot of underground cartoonists. He, as you said, helped co-found the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. He was an agent for a while who represented comics. He currently represents the estates of cartoonists like Will Eisner and Howard Cruz. He worked at Mirage, which was the studio that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles guys founded, I believe. So he's had his hands in a lot of different parts of the history of the medium. And he's just a fascinating guy to talk to. He has a lot of stories, and he's happy to tell you them.
Yeah, and I would say I would classify him as one of those artists who's like your artist's favorite artist, that if you aren't familiar with them, you should probably get to know their influence. I feel like I always hesitate to say like a star maker, but like in terms of like his influence on the industry, it's insurmountable.
And I'll piggyback on that. As I mentioned when we started talking about him, for me and my fandom, he was always the guy with Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. Like I was ignorant to the fact that he had this whole publishing background and his own art and all that jazz until, you know, this event, the CXC's come around. I started doing some research. And I was like, well, holy cow. He actually, you know, he's bigger than I thought. Because, again, I knew him as an eighth of his career, shall we say, and not realizing he had all this other, you know, accolades and whatnot behind him.
Yeah, I think that, again, if you can catch him on the floor and just grab his ear for a moment, I think you'd be lucky to have a chance to talk to him. But also, he's going to be doing panels. I know he's going to be on a panel with John Jennings, Avi from Silver Sprocket. There we go, Silver Sprocket.
And I think he'll also have a solo panel where it's just him to kind of talking about his long and interesting career in comics.
Yeah, I believe that's Saturday afternoon. He has that speaking event 3:30 to 4:30. And if I remember correctly, let's make sure I get the right venue. Yeah. Is it at Mershon?
No, that'll be here at the library.
At the library.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so Saturday and Sunday.
I'm 0 for 2 on these. I have notes. I swear I do.
Yeah, no, the library should be, I'm really excited about the events we have planned for the library on both Saturday and Sunday. I think that if you haven't had a chance to really kind of check out that lineup from beginning to end, even though we don't have time to go through every kind of event, I think that we've found a great way of exploring a lot of things that we talked about in terms of having diverse panels, but also even just like having a lot of young artists talking with older seasoned artists, young publishers talking with older seasoned publishers, small publishers talking with big publishers. And so the scope of what's being covered is there's something for everybody that I think I hope people, you know, find engaging. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll go from somebody that wore many hats, all right, to another guest that's worn many hats. Let's talk about Shelley Bond, editor and vice president at Vertigo for a while, created Black Crown, which is an imprint for IDW, published a ton of different things, has been in the industry for a very long time. How excited are you to have Shelley Bond coming to CXC?
I'd like to say, like, I just recently had a chance to check out Filth and Grammar, that the recent book that was released about editing. And I think that actively having someone come in with that degree of experience to engage with a crowd is really, like, we are extremely lucky to have her present.
Yeah, I think that she's another person who is, you know, she's somebody who maybe if you're just, you know, kind of a comic book fan and you come on a Wednesday and you pick up your books, maybe you don't recognize her name off the top of your head, but she has been instrumental in a lot of the stuff that you probably love and have been reading for years. And I think that it's interesting that, you know, and I think people will find it interesting that, you know, to hear about the process of editing and being an editor, because that's sort of a role in comics that I think people sort of take for granted and don't think a whole lot about, but it's an incredibly important role in certain parts of the industry. And she's certainly a kind of a rare case of a sort of star editor that people who really know about the industry and are super fans of the art form, you know, will recognize her name and understand that she's a pretty important figure.
Yeah, I remember early on in my time, and back when I was working at a comic book shop in Los Angeles, Shelley Bond was one of the first editors who I knew by name and kind of kept an eye out for, especially in terms of the publications that she had worked on. I remember her aesthetic being, the colloquial term is edgy and very cool. There was something that was, it was the Brit goth punk mod stuff that really kind of like turned my head. And I remember her being like, when it came to like, I need to follow editors on Twitter and I need to find, like, she was the first name that I knew from like the back matter of the comics I was reading at the time.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I sort of like in certain days of music, you know, if you just saw a random record on the racks and it said, you know, it was SST Records that put it out, you're like, well, it's gonna be good, and you would just buy it. So it's like, you know, there's a point if you see like Shelley Bond as editor, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna pick that up.
Yeah, you know? I remember her specifically being like, oh man, this is an editor that captures my vision of what comics is and what like my taste is and my aesthetic is. And so like I hope people enjoy hearing her kind of talk about getting in the industry and how she engaged with it.
Yes, I'm very curious to see what she has to say about that, because as you mentioned, and I agree with you, Ben, is that I think it's sometimes overlooked that, you know, with talking with a lot of independent creators for this podcast, that tends to be one of the, I guess you could say, overlooked. And I don't wish to be disrespectful to any editors out there, but I think from common folk think that, you know, oh, they just, the writer goes ahead and just rereads it or has his neighbor read it or whatnot. But a true editor can really turn that script or that comic from an 8 to a 10.
I mean, both me and Ben are professors over at CCAD, Columbus College of Art and Design. And so I teach comics classes. And one of the questions that I get asked is, what's the difference between an editor and copy editor? And it's interesting just because once you break it down in terms of the project management, in terms of the modes of communication between a writer and a inker, and writer, penciler, inker, colorist, and the kind of like person, it's kind of like this Charlie and Charlie's Angels thing where like there is this puppet master that is kind of allowing for this project to come together, and not only kind of examining the copy edits, and copy editors are very important. I love you all too. But as far as an editor operating as a project manager, I think understanding the scope that an editor has and the influence they have on a title and the direction that the title goes. If you are unsure about what an editor is and that definition doesn't narrowly cover fully, I definitely recommend checking out Shelley Bond. She is definitely going to be the one that breaks you out, breaks that down, excuse me. Not breaks you out. That's weird.
Like, that's weird.
If you're ever if you're ever in prison, Shelley Bond will break you out.
Yeah, she'll send you that. She'll send you that issue of Sandman with a little file in it.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Ben and Craig for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pull system, a friendly staff. They got you covered. So check them out online at WGComics.com or through Facebook at WG Comics. And if you're in the area, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio.
Well, you know, we've talked about having, you know, a diverse group of individuals to be here at CXC, whether we're talking about, you know, diversity in their background or in their genre. Let's talk about John Jennings, because here he is more recently been really in the academics of cartooning and comics and the visual arts. And so, Craig, tell us a little bit about John Jennings and what fans can expect if they check out one of his panel discussions and whatnot.
John Jennings has done so much. It's really hard to check out John Jennings on Wikipedia, y'all. Like, like it's really hard to summarize what John Jennings
has
done.
Yeah, check it out on Wikipedia and then explain to me how the man sleeps.
because John Jennings, my first kind of engagement with John Jennings was as an academic. He has won Eisner's for his ability to curate essays. Gosh, the title is escaping me. I think it's Black or the Ink. But his work, check out his essay work. He deconstructs and articulates ideas about comics, especially the intersection of race and comics in a way that I find hugely enlightening. He is being an organizer of convention spaces and just like communicating with not only artists of color, but also like the broader industry. I think that his scope is wider than I can really kind of articulate. What I will say is right now he recently was put in the director position of Megascope, which is an imprint for Abrams that primarily focuses on comics from cartoonists of color, writers of colors, illustrators of color. And that has kind of brought him into the conversation of not only his work as a writer, his work as an illustrator. He's done work adapting work from Octavia Butler, like Kindred, which I recommend everyone check out. And his writing, he's recently written a series for Marvel of the Silver Surfer. But he is actively engaging with the creation and platforming young cartoonists and teams of writers and cartoonists to make a lot of really fascinating and interesting work. And so we're hoping to engage with him about that body of work, but also kind of go into the larger scope of what he's been able to accomplish.
Okay. And, you know, obviously, I think this would be the understatement of this episode if I said, you know, it's probably very important to have that balance of having somebody from the academic world as well as those who maybe are more on the front lines of creating indie comics and whatnot. Would that be correct? That would be a massive understatement.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, not a massive understatement. I think you're doing great. I think as far as the conversation surrounding academia and comics, I think that there is a tone and a voice of not only fans of comics and folks in the comics industry, but also people who are engaged with the history of comics and that desire to kind of engage with the broader conversation and kind of dabble in these different spaces, I think allows for us at CXC to really, like, our aspirations seem to inherently have a wide scope. I think even when you go back to the notion of the Billy Ireland Museum being present here and our access to a wide history of work and being able to even have guests in Columbus, Ohio, who are doing research projects and reprints and like coming here to discuss comics, I think it's hard to avoid the inherently academic conversations that come out of it.
Well, let's talk about another guest, a man that many people probably know, and I'm just going out on a limb. I'm going to say that most people probably know him from his screenwriting and his movie background, so to speak, talking about Daniel Klaus. He's coming to town to talk about all of his various different projects, Art School Confidential, 8-Ball, Ghost World, everything else that he's done. Again, another gentleman that has a long resume.
Yeah, I think maybe if you're not a sort of comics person in general, you might know him more from film, just because that tends to have sort of a film as a medium tends to have a larger audience. And yeah, he did Ghost World and Art School Confidential, and I believe he got an Academy Award nomination as screenwriter for Ghost World. But in comics circles, he is incredibly well known. He's arguably one of three or four people who kind of the late 90s, early 2000s kind of gave rise to this sort of modern adult adult oriented graphic novel. You know, as he kind of moved from doing serialized issues of his series 8-Ball into doing standalone books. Yeah, he's a pretty important figure. He's been doing this for a long time. He's the level of craft that he has as a practitioner of cartooning is about as high as it gets. We're very excited to have him. He is debuting his new book at CXC, which is called Monica. It's been 7 years in the making. He is not doing a lot of appearances for it. In fact, we are the only comics festival that Dan Klaus will be appearing at this year. He's doing a few bookstore appearances and things like that. But again, like if you want to come to a comics festival, you want to see him, on a big stage showing stuff from his current book, Monica, this you got to be in Columbus, Ohio at CXC.
And this will be the first place that you're going to be able to get that book.
Yes, he is debuting it at the show, and it is not out in stores for another...
I think it's October 3rd.
Yeah, I think October 3rd. So you can get it here first. You can get it signed by him. And then he'll be doing his talk. We'll be at Mershon on Friday night from 8 to 9, I believe.
All right, let's talk about another person that has roots in film. Let's talk about Brenda Chapman, who's going to be here because The Prince of Egypt, the 25th anniversary screening, is going to be happening at CXC. So let's fill in the listeners as to who Brenda Chapman is and why this is an important screening.
Yeah, sure. So the people we've talked about before, mostly comics, cartooning, graphic novels kind of people. We do have a large and very strong animation component as well, largely through our partners, the Gateway and the Wexner. But yeah, so Brenda Chapman is, I believe, the first woman to direct a major CG animated film, and that was The Prince of Egypt, and she will be here in person to talk about that, and then there will be a screening of Prince of Egypt. We also have a number of other animation people in town. We have someone who's going to come in and talk about film restoration, and then we're going to be showing a series of DreamWorks films on Saturday. But Brenda also directed Brave for Pixar. So she's a big deal. We're really happy to have her here. We're hoping people will come out, since it's a chance to actually hear her discuss her work.
Well, let's talk about Regan Buchanan, who's going to be part of the Punks and Comics panel discussion, along with Shelley Bond and 8-Pow and Durf as well. So Regan Buchanan, what can we expect to hear from her and her experiences here in the world of indie comics?
Well, Reagan's been doing a lot really recently, engaging with Poctober, people of color, October, and the secret history of Black punk. Her research has kind of led her down some really interesting avenues, probably some information that you do know, some information that you don't surrounding that history. I'm excited to see her on a panel with Durf, with Shelley Bond, Nate Powell, and kind of talking about that kind of generational experience of engaging with punk, because all of them come from different spaces, different times. I'm really interested in engaging with that. I also think that it's going to be fascinating having that content present. I hope everybody gets a chance to check that out. And also her being a local, I think, engaging with local artists, especially because she's not only a cartoonist, a comic artist. She also does mural work, and you could see her work across the city. And I think having that support and that voice present is going to be really important. And I'm excited to have her on a panel with that community.
Yeah, and I think that she has been, you know, doing art and creative things for a good amount of time. But this is at least as far as major stuff out. I think this is her first kind of major comic release. Yeah. Is that correct? It's on Silver Sprocket. And so I think that one thing that we like to do at CXC is try to get people who are up and coming and, you know, doing really high quality work and get them just like in the same room with people like Raina Telgemeier and Daniel Klaus. So, mm-hmm.
So she can sit under the learning tree, so to speak.
Well, I mean,
those folks, maybe.
Just even more just like rubbing elbows and talking shop and, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And not only that, I think that her recent engagement, and because right now she's doing a reading in Florida right now, and she's touring her book, mm-hmm. and traveling across the country. I think that her experience in being a cartoonist right now, and in contrast with her experience being a musician, with her experience being an artist who has worked in visual medias, whether it's on a piece of paper or on a wall, I think that her work as an artist broadens the conversation. So I'm excited to see what everyone brings to the table. Yeah, I think that's a big thing for me.
Yeah, and just generationally, different cartoonists have different perspectives about, mm-hmm. you know, about the craft, and I think it's beneficial to everyone just to get them all together in conversation.
All right, well, gentlemen, let's wrap up talking about, we threw his name out there, Durfback Durf. He's coming to CXC, and if I'm not mistaken, is this his second time coming?
I believe he has been here many times.
As, okay, so
at least
than
as
than
he tables at the show, mm-hmm. and sells stuff. I think this is maybe the second time he's been a guest.
Okay.
And generally, you know, he has come when he's had a new book out, which is in fact what he has this year. So he's got his book Kent State, which is just a meticulously researched graphic novel, nonfiction graphic novel that looks into the Kent State massacre. So that's, we're really happy to have him here. He is he's not Columbus based, but he's regional. He's up in Cleveland. So for people who may be interested in Ohio history, you know, I'd say that is a must see panel. Will be him talking about Kent State.
Degrees of local artists that we have access.
Yeah.
We have
absolutely.
Some straight from Columbus. We have some straight from Ohio.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Now, as we're going to kind of wrap up our conversation, we do need to let maybe the listeners know that maybe aren't familiar with what has gone on here with Jeff Smith. Would you like to just comment real quickly? Because his appearance has been, shall we say, postponed for medical purposes. And we were talking, you know, off air, Craig, because I was not clued in. So do you want to just maybe tell the listeners real quick? You know?
First, I'd like to just state that Jeff has been a massive part of CXC since its inception. Mm-hmm. Jeff is one of the leaders and creators of CXC, and it's hard to even say his participation so much as his just straight up contribution to CXC as an institution to Columbus has been extraordinary. It's difficult to sum it up into mm-hmm. words.
Well, and comics in general. I mean, he's a nationally known and beloved figure, you know, multiple Eisner winner, you know, his book Bone is, you know, along with stuff like Smile, you know, pretty much invented / rejuvenated comics as a kid's medium, a mm-hmm. widely read kid's medium. But yeah, so I guess what you're alluding to is he recently suffered a cardiac arrest at his home here in Columbus, and, you know, is currently recovering on this. I don't know there's a whole lot more to it than that, except that, you know, we're happy to hear that he's recovering.
Yes, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
You know, people, you know, if you get on Twitter, people from around the world are wishing him the best. And to the best of my knowledge, he is progressing well.
Okay.
I think, you know, we have not seen the last of Jeff Smith's comics, thankfully.
Yes, agreed. And, you know, from yours truly, I hope you're feeling better as well, Jeff Smith. Get well soon. Want to see you back here at CXC next year. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about where folks can check out some of the information if they wanted to come out. And by the way, if you haven't picked up on it, we want you to come out. We really, really do. I mean, it's, as Ben said, it's free. So you can't play that card of, well, it'll cost me $30. No, no, it's not going to cost you a thing. All right, come on out. It's free. Lots of different venues where you can check out some awesome panel discussions and conversations and programming. Ben, you were going to say, I cut you off there. I thought.
I was just going to throw out that, you know, a lot of the guests that we discuss specifically, only Raina is a specific, you know, kids cartoonist. We do have a lot of kids cartoonists here. And like we talked a lot about panels that are probably mostly of interest to adults. I just wanted to point out we do have for the Saturday and Sunday part of the expo, which is here at the library, at the downtown, the main branch. We do have a full 2 days of Kids Track programming. That's completely separate from the grown-up stuff. So, you know, you can bring your kids down here, and those tend to be really interactive things. They're not just somebody up there talking at them. There's, you know, all of them will involve drawing and activities and things like that. And, you know, it's a chance for your comics reading kids to really meet people who do this for a living and interact with them and, you know, learn how to make comics.
I'd also like to note that we are also very concerned about accessibility. We've made sure that for Saturday's events, we do have American Sign Language signers present for Friday. Sorry.
Yeah, for Raina Telgemeier Daniel Klaus, there will be ASL interpreter there.
Yes, and so we want to make sure that everybody has a chance to check this out. Comics are accessible.
Absolutely.
And so we want to make sure everyone has a chance to not only engage with the comics we have present, but engage with the speakers and guests that we have here too.
And, you know, as you mentioned, the expo, you could pick up some cool comics from some vendors that are going to be here from all around the world. So you got that. You got a ton of guests that, again, with all due respect, we had to keep this to a reasonable time. We could have done a 3-hour podcast. But definitely check them out over at cartooncrossroadscolumbus.org. Social media, Facebook and Instagram, it's Cartoon Crossroads Columbus. Very simple. YouTube and Twitter or X or whatever the new name is this week. At CXC Festival. You can follow the festival online there on social media. And again, check out the website, see what's happening, when it's happening, where it's happening. Come on out. It's a great, I've been coming since the inception of it as a fan, and it's awesome. You meet some cool creators. You see some cool books. It's a great experience. Yeah, you need to come out, hands down.
Yeah, definitely come on down. And also, I just want to reiterate that, you know, Columbus is a comics town. Always engage with your local comics and check out the Billy Ireland Museum and, you know, join us year round.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you so very much for sitting down and chatting with me.
Oh, great. Thank you for having us.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Ben and Craig talking all about CXC, the Cartoon Crossroads Columbus event, again, happening next week, September 27th through October 1st. Go to cartooncrossroadscolumbus.org to get all the information you need. Again, we mentioned that it is a free event. You don't have to pay to get in. So definitely come on out. If you've never been, you need to fix that. You need to come on down to any of the events going on over the next week. So that's about time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, you can shoot me an email if you're old school. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on Threads, Facebook, and Instagram. Look for @PVDcast. And I'm even on Twitter or X or whatever it's called. Just search for my personal handle, @PVDMVP. And now to let you know where you can hear this great podcast. Well, it's available at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to the search bar within that outlet. put in PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And don't forget, if you're using a podcasting app to listen to this podcast, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out so much in the algorithm. All you have to do is tell that particular app how many stars you think I deserve and maybe leave a comment. You know, I don't know, great episode, you stink, John, I love hot dogs, whatever you want to write. And that will help me out in the algorithm. So again, rate and review. And you know what? While we're talking about it, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. I will also highlight another possible avenue for hearing the PVD cast, and that's through the Facebook page. Wednesday nights, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page. Once again, that's at PVDcast. And the PVDcast is also available on CROC Radio, a great internet radio station emanating out of British Columbia. I'm so glad to be part of the family at Croc Radio. So just go to wherever you hear internet radio, look for Croc Radio, and Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when the PVDcast airs. And make sure to check it out and check out all the great shows on CROC Radio. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.